No, I think that is pretty scary.
So, Rabbis, our limud of halacha every day is as a schus for the refuah shleima of Yosef Dov ben Chayla. He should have a refuah shleima b'soich she'ochayli Yisrael b'korev.
Amen.
So we learned that there's an inyan to have pas ala shulchan at the time when you bench for three reasons. Yeah, first of all, that the bracha should be chal on something. When there's already something there in Gashmias, then the bracha is chal, so that it's misrabe. The second thing is to show that I'm thanking the Rabbeinu Shloim for the food that I've eaten. And the third reason was, as a zan of tish, there should be some bread on the table in case it only knocks on the door and there's got a guest for the meal and you have to be able to give him something. So the question was, if I haven't got bread, or I've got bread, or I've only got pieces, what do you do? I didn't learn the halacha yesterday because I was confused, so I spent some time on it, and I think I've sussed out exactly how it works. So there are four possibilities. Number one is that you've got no bread left on the table at all. So you've eaten all the bread, yeah? You had sandwiches at your desk, you finished everything, and there's no bread on the table at all. That's one possibility. Possibility number two is that there are pieces of bread left, but there isn't a shleimo. So there are pieces, there are slices. I've got three slices of bread left over. I've got a challah tray, and there's a few sliced pieces of challah, but there's no complete sholem on the table. Possibility two. Possibility three is the other way around. There is a complete sholem. There's a whole roll left over. There's a whole challah left over, but there are no pieces. And possibility number four is that there are both. There's a shleimo and there are pieces. So each one of these four possibilities carries with it different results depending on the inyonim that we were discussing as to why you've got the bread on the table. So let's take the first one. Right? If there is no bread on the table at all, you finished eating, hypothetically, yeah? Again, you finish your lunch at your desk and there's no bread left on the table at all. Or you have a Shabbos meal and all the challah's finished, there's nothing left over. So now the table has nothing on which the brocha should be chal. Harachmon hu yishlach lanu brocha meruba babayis hazeh. V'al shulchon zeh shel chal olav. The Rabbi Shem, we ask him to send brocha, but there's nothing for the brocha to be chal on because there's nothing in front of it. Secondly, When you're benching at your desk, let's say, and there's no bread left over, yeah, somebody walks in, he doesn't know that you're benching to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the food that you just eaten. You might be saying Tehillim. You might be making up something, you know, you might be saying over a Mishnayos by heart, or whatever it is. So therefore, there's no siman at all. So therefore, it's not acceptable that there should be nothing left. So what do you bring? Yeah? So it says as follows. The Mishnah Berurah brings down al pi the Zoya that you're allowed to bring either pieces or a shleimo. In other words, you can, as long as you've got some bread in front of you, bring a matzah, bring a roll, bring some bread from the freezer or whatever it is. Have something on you. Have something on the table that the bracha should be chal and that there should be left over for the oni, and that I'm showing what I'm thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for, why I'm benching. So therefore, for all the reasons, I'm going to bring. Yeah, but lechoyra, we'll be learning soon about what happens if you've got pieces only or a shleimo only. Lechoyra, you shouldn't bring both a shleimo and pesisin. You shouldn't bring a whole roll and pieces as well, for reasons that we'll see in a minute when we go through the alternatives. Is our speaker here? Not. Okay, we'll carry on for a minute, yeah? So, possibility number two was that there are pieces left over. So I've got a challah bowl on my Shabbos table, and we sliced up the challah, and there's a few pieces of sliced bread left over, but there isn't a sholem left on the table. Then the halacha is loy yovi shleimo, because I've got the sliced bread that I've got, the few pieces that I've got on the table, they fulfill all the requirements of having bread on the table. The brocha can be chal on the sliced bread. I can give it to an oni if he comes, and I'm showing what the Rabbeinu Shloim, what I'm thanking him for. So therefore, the sliced bread is fine. So why are you bringing a shleimo as well to the table when you've got sliced bread already on which the brocha can be chal? Elamai, there there is the chashash of the pasuk in Yeshaya that we learnt yesterday, that it looks like you're bringing a takrovis la'avodah zorah. We discussed it yesterday, exactly why it looks like that. But there, because I don't need to bring a shleimo to the table to fulfill all the requirements of bread on the table, but I'm bringing a shleimo. Why are you bringing a shleimo? It looks like a takrovis la'avodah zorah. There, it'll be also to bring a shleimo. Leave the pieces on the table, leave the challah in the bowl, but don't bring a shleimo. Right, the other two will go through tomorrow.
Started there, turn away in northwest London. Thursday, Kaf Gimel, 7th, 19th of June, Rabbi Shmuley Dunne, Shlita, Reception Matters. This week's Torah was sponsored by Family Ratzah Dorfer, local team for Mitzvah of Eli Ratzah Dorfer, Neri York, whose Shabbos is coming Shabbos. Heat Rotten, Shitzko Rob, was Kenu Rab Nachas, Mimenu Mekon Yotzei, Cholotzehim, Tzvus HaShvoim, Vachayolim, Vamilchamo, Shachzu Levoteim, Lesholom, Bimhei Rob.
Amen. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for inviting me once again to speak a Stiday the Torah away. It's hard not to begin with the words I just said in davening. Nechshavnu k'tzoyin tivcho l'temach yuvo l'arig u'l'abed u'l'makar l'cherpa u'v'chol zoi shimcho lo yishachachnu. Empires have risen and fallen over the generations, but nitzchus of Klal Yisrael will always continue to endure. V'maminim v'maminim that the shoyim ha'amu Yisrael la'ad will hear a tefillah of na'al tishkachenu u'v'zoichem ez Hashem to see Yeshua's bekarav. The topic of today's shiur is perception matters, and Be'ez Hashem, by the end of the year, we'll all see things a little more clearly. After enduring many years in Golos Mitzrayim, the Rebbein Shalom was ready to lead Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, Eretz HaKodesh, into Klal Yisrael's homeland, to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu without any distractions. In our own land, Klal Yisrael had waited this for many, many years. And this week's parasha begins that the Rebbein Shalom gave Moshe Rabbeinu Roshus, Shalach Lecha Anoshim. The Rebbein Shalom gave him Roshus to send 12 Bechirei Am. Rashi points out that the Torah describes the Meraglim with the word Anoshim, which is a title which is given to Chashuvim. In the Ramban it's Mavua that the Meraglim won a very high Madrega. Some of the Meraglim were even on the Madrega higher than Kaliv and Yeshua. And the purpose of this was to prepare Klal Yisrael for a smooth transition into going into Eretz Yisrael, that they should go in there without any surprises, that they should be able to conquer the enemies smoothly. But as we all know, the Meraglim returned with a report that was filled with skepticism, negativity, and they assured Klal Yisrael they would be defeated. And upon hearing this, the famous Pasuk tells us, when Klal Yisrael heard the report of the Meraglim, Vayivku kol ha'om balayla ahu, Klal Yisrael burst into tears, they cried that night. The famous words of Chazal, the Gemara in Tainis of Choftes, Atem bechisem bechia shel chinom. The Rebbein Shalom said to Klal Yisrael, you cried a baseless cry, and he ekval ochem bechia ledoiros. I will cause this very night to be a night of crying for all future generations until Mashiach comes. That night became engraved in history as a night of weeping. It became engraved in history as the hallmark of Yiddish misfortune. As we know, Tisha B'Av, the destruction of the second base of Migdash, the Spanish Inquisition, the outbreak of World War I, and so forth. Many, many tzoros began on that night, the night that Klal Yisrael originally cried upon hearing the report of the Meraglim. I'd just like to elaborate and explain one or two messages that we can take out from this. Really, we have to understand that the Meraglim received a very harsh punishment. They weren't able to enter Yisrael, 40 years in the Midbar. Very, very, very big punishment. At the end of the day, the Meraglim went. Their job was to give a report of Eretz Yisrael. They went. They said what they saw. They came back. They reported it to Klal Yisrael. And, you know, yeah, the report wasn't so positive. But so it was so terrible, so much so that was it. They were unable to go into Eretz Yisrael and had to wait 40 years. And that whole door had to move on. At the end of the day, they said what they saw. Also, what do Chazal mean when Chazal say that they cried a baseless cry? They cried upon hearing the facts. They heard the facts. Those were the facts the Meraglim came back with. And they cried based on those facts. What does it mean it was chinom, it was baseless? And in actual fact, there's a very perplexing piece of Gemara, because the Gemara Sanhedrin says that in the Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Eicha. The Pasuk in Eicha says, Potsu olecha piem. They opened their mouths against you. So the Gemara says, Potsu begins with a pei. Alecha begins with an ayin. In the order of the aleph-bet, ayin normally comes before pei. So the Gemara says, why? Bishvama hikdim pei la'ayin. Why here, in this pasuk, is the letter pei before the letter ayin? Potsu alecha pihem. So the Gemara says the following statement. Bishvama maraglim, because of the maraglim, she'omru befihem, they said with their mouths, befihem the pei, ma shaloi ro'u behineyem, what they didn't see with their eyes. In other words, their mouths preceded their eyes. They said with their mouths, well, their eyes actually didn't see. Now, Gemara, of course, is very difficult to understand on its simple level, because we're not accusing the Meraglim of lying. Or are we? And the Meraglim came back and we're saying that they said with their mouths, well, they didn't see with their eyes. How can we understand such a thing? The Mepharshim tell us that, numerous Mepharshim, that the answer to these questions really lie in the following Rashi. The Pasuk says, Vayelchu vayavoyu al-Moshe va'aroin, the Meraglim, they went to Eretz Yisrael, and then they came back to Moshe and Aaron. Vayashiva Oisam Dovo, they told them what they had seen, and they said, Vayaram Espiraris, they showed them the fruit of the land, and so forth. So Rashi points out from Chazal, Vayelchu Vayavoyu, they went and they came back. The Torah seems to connect these two moments in time, the moment in time from when the Meraglim went, to the moment in time the Meraglim came back with their report. Says Rashi, Lahakish Halichoson Lebioson. Chazal are connecting the Halicha, they're going to Eretz Yisrael, to their returning. Just like Ma Bioson Beitzaro, just like they returned from Eretz Yisrael with a very negative attitude, with a negative perspective of what took place, Af Halichoson Beitzaro. Also, their initial leaving, their initial going, entering Eretz Yisrael was also Beitzaro. They entered Eretz Yisrael with a negative perception, with a negative attitude. The Torah is teaching us that, do you know why? Vayavoyu, do you know why they came back with a negative attitude? It didn't start there. It's because Vayelchu. It's because when they left Eretz Yisrael, they already had a negative agenda in mind. They knew what they were looking for, so they found it. And there's different pshatim, we're not going into that now. Why is it that the Meraglim didn't actually want to enter Eretz Yisrael at that very point? But here, the message Chazal are teaching us is that because they left, they arrived in Eretz Yisrael with a negative approach, therefore, they saw what they wanted to see. In life, you hear what you want to hear, you see what you want to see. Two people can see exactly the very same thing, yet translate them into two completely different ways. And that's because every situation and every person can be viewed through any lens, and that is going to determine what you're going to see. We can choose to process anything the way we want. And in 1961, there was a Russian by the name of Yuri Gagarin. He was the first human to enter space. And he's believed to have said when he got up there, I was up there and I looked, but I didn't see any trace of Ribono Shel Olam, any trace of a god. Only a few years later, in December 21, 1968, three astronauts circled the moon, the Apollo 8. They weren't Jewish. And they showed amazement up there at the wonders of the Creator. There's a recording of them, started quoting Pesukim. How is this possible? Both of them went to the same place. They both witnessed the beauty of Earth from above, the stars, the galaxies, the moon up close, the breathtaking views. One of them doesn't seem to see God at all. Yet the others see the fingerprints of a Creator all over it, all over the universe. How is this possible? And the answer is, as we're saying, it depends on how you choose to see it. We can be blinded by our agenda, by our beliefs. And subsequently, that's going to affect what we're going to see. Says the Stipler, in this week's parasha in the Sefer Chaya Olam, he says the Nesiim, they were very, very great people. They were the Bechirei Om, but they had an agenda, they knew what they're looking for. So at that point, it was no longer relevant whether Eretz Yisrael was the promised land, whether they had seen, they had witnessed all the Makkas, they knew they were heading there, they were told it's a land, Zavas Cholav Advosh, yet they interpreted everything they saw in a negative light, because that was their perspective when they arrived in Eretz Yisrael to begin with. They brought back the large fruits, Rashi tells us, what were they trying to point out, the large fruits? They said, just like the fruits are very strange, so too the people there are very strange. Now, it's not hard for us to come up with a positive report about large fruits, the juicy fruits of Eretz Yisrael, it's a land flowing a brocha, the fruits are so large, yet they interpreted it in the way they wanted to see it. They said it's an Eretz Echeles Yoshvel, it's a land that devours its inhabitants, and Rashi brings from Chazal that when they arrived there, as we know, there were so many Leviathans going on, and they said, people die here all the time, it's a land that eats up its residents, and the Stipler just points out, he said, I don't understand. You know, if it was a land that it's a normal thing there that people just die the whole time, then why was the whole country preoccupied with it? They were so busy, says Rashi, they didn't even notice the Meraglim. They didn't notice that the Meraglim had come to spy out the land. On the contrary, says the Stipler, for common day occurrences, a country doesn't just come to a standstill. On the contrary, obviously it was an unusual occurrence, and therefore they didn't go noticed. In fact, just 40 years later, in times of Yeshua, Kolev and Pinchas entered Canaan, and they were immediately detected, and they were hunted down on the very first day they arrived. And yet the Meraglim came there, there were 12 of them, and they didn't go, they just went unnoticed. And this is obviously the power of Nagias. This is the power of Nagias, that once you're set in your ways, in your mind, then that can affect everything that you see. The worst thing is to do to someone is to take a gift, a heartfelt gift, and turn it into something sinister. And perhaps that's why the punishment was so severe. You know, it's like receiving a bouquet of flowers and putting them head first in the dustbin. The Rebbeinu Shem, Kavachoyme, Benoshe Kavachoyme, it wasn't just a bouquet of flowers. The Rebbeinu Shem was giving Klal Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, Eretz HaKodesh, which is the land of Brochas, the land we're going to serve the Rebbeinu Shem, and I'm going to connect with him. It's a land of Avodah, it's a land of Avodah Hashem, it's a land of Ruchnius. And that's what the Rebbeinu Shem was offering them, Nitzchius, Ruchnius. And they took that and they turned it into something negative, into something that they didn't want, into something that wasn't going to work for them. We asked, why is it chinam? Why is it a baseless cry? They said what they saw. True, they said what they saw. Not sure. They said what they wanted to see. They might have said the facts, but they portrayed them in a way they wanted to see them. And that's the meaning of Chazal when the Gemara says, "Sha'omru b'fihem ma she'ro'o b'ne'em." They said with their mouths what they didn't see with their eyes. Chas v'shalom, we're not accusing the Meraglim of lying. Rather, we're just saying they said with their mouths what they didn't see with their eyes, because they said it in a way, in a manner that they wanted to see it. They were punished for 40 years. One can ask 40 years for the 40 days that they spied the land. The 40 days that why are they punished for every day that they spied the land? They should be punished for the day they came back, for the report they gave. They came back, they gave a bad report. Let them be punished for their bad report. And according to what we're saying, the answer is obvious, that every single one of those days that they were there in Eretz Yisrael, they were already looking at it. They arrived, that vayelchu, they arrived already with a negative perception in mind. And therefore, every single day they were there, they were punished for. Because every single day, their outlook on Eretz Yisrael was in a negative outlook. A saying goes, you believe what you see, but often enough, it's you see what you believe. For in next week's parasha, parasha's Korach Bekeach, same thing. Korach was a very clever man. But he was so blinded by covered that he was able to accuse Moshe and Aaron of all sorts of accusations of taking covered for themselves. And that was because he had this thing in mind that he wanted, and therefore everything he saw just fitted in with what he was thinking. And this theme continues right through the parasha. I mean, we're at the beginning of the parasha, the Rashi points out what's the connection between the Meraglim and the end of last week's parasha, which was Meirim Gotzeras. And Rashi brings from Chazal, because the Torah is teaching us, the Torah is saying that they saw what happened to Miriam, she got Tzaraas, and they didn't take any Musa, and they still did the Chet HaMeraglim. And the deeper meaning is what we're saying, they saw, they witnessed an event, and the Torah is saying a tvi on us, that they saw something and they didn't understand the message of what they saw. At the end of the parasha, of the parasha of Vayomer, the Torah tells us, many ask, it should be the other way around. Don't go astray after your hearts and after your eyes. First the eye sees, and then the heart desires. But sometimes, according to what we're saying, it's the other way around. Sometimes, it starts with the heart. We have a certain thing in mind, we know what we want, and therefore we interpret things we see in a specific manner. And perhaps the deeper touch of the words, v'loisosuru achrei einechem, don't go after what the superficial eye sees. See deeper. Understand the true message of events that we see. Reb Chaim Kanievsky, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, in his earlier years, I can't remember which war it was, one of the wars in Eretz Yisrael, there was a lot of fear, there was a lot of tension, a lot of pachad in the streets. And Reb Chaim, of course, completely shakua in his learning, continuing with his daily schedule. And somebody went over to him and said, Reb Chaim, you know, are you not afraid? There's so much tension in the streets. There's a lot of sorrow out there. Are you not afraid? You seem to be so calm and continuing in your ways. There's tanks rolling down the streets. And Reb Chaim just looked up and said, "Kishani ra'e tankim." When I see a tank in the street, ani choshev al shtei dvarim. I think about two things: mezuzah and whether it has a din oil when it comes to tumah. You know, there's lots to learn from this ma'isa. But in Yoneinu, what I'm taking out from here is that Reb Chaim Kanievsky saw everything through a Torah lens. Therefore, that's what he saw. Everything he saw, he interpreted with the lens of Torah. The lens we choose to see with, that's how we interpret things. The Gemara in Gittin says that Rav Ilish was captured, and he heard a Shoma Kol Oirav. He heard the sound of a raven, a bird, and there was a man. The bird was chirping away. More than just a regular bird. So there was a person next to him, says the Gemara, that knew the language of birds. So Reb Ilish asked him, what's this bird saying? What's he tweeting about? And he said to him, Reb Ilish, the bird is saying, Ilish brach, Ilish run, escape from prison. Now's your moment. You escape now, you'll manage to escape. Ilish brach, Ilish escape. Kiveigele on the side of the Gemara asks a question from the Baal Seder Doros, that the Oruch and others have raias that Reb Ilish knew himself the language of the birds. So the obvious question is, why was Reb Ilish asking the person next to him what the birds were saying when he himself understood the language of the birds? Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, because Reb Ilish knew that in his subconscious, and his conscious as well, he very much wanted to leave prison. He wanted to get out. He knew at that point, he was so desperate to get out, whatever he saw, he would interpret as a message to leave prison. Therefore, it was no good for him to interpret what the birds were saying, because he would interpret it in a way to leave. So he had to ask somebody else. And that once that person informed him Ilish Barach, then he knew that was truly the correct way of looking at it. My grandfather, Dain Entra, Zichzad Nevrocha, he was born in Germany, did a lot for Torah in Germany, and he was honored by them to receive a big medal of honor in Germany. And this medal had on it a symbol of Avodah Zarah. And my father's on that way, and one day he went into my grandfather, and he saw he was very perturbed and very bothered. He asked him what he's so bothered about. He said he's very unsure. He wishes Rabbi Yashu was still alive, because if Rabbi Yashu was alive, he would go in and ask him the Shaila, should he be accepting this medal of honor? And then it has something on it that has Shaykh Avodah Zarah. He's not sure if he can accept it, if he can wear it. And my father just turned around to him and said to him, I know you've been asked many of these shaylas in the past, similar shaylas, you've dealt with this before, why are you so perturbed, why are you so bothered? You can paskal as that shayla. And he said, no, because I very much want to accept this. Because Hashem in Germany, I want to accept it. I know I have a negias, and therefore I don't feel like a paskal in the shayla. So is the power of negias. And this is what the Torah is teaching us. It's up to us what we want to focus on. We can focus. And the end he didn't accept it. We can focus on positivity or negativity. The choice is ours. I once heard the following anecdote. Back in the early 1950s, there was a large shoe business in the United States of America. They decided to take their business venture into Africa, and they sent two of their salesmen to go and seek out the prospects of doing business, to explore whether there's potential there or not. After just 1 week, they received a telegram from the first salesman and said the following, I'm returning at once, there's no hope for business, nobody here wears shoes. They didn't hear from the second salesman for 4 weeks. And one day, an urgent telegram arrived with the following message. Send 15,000 pairs of shoes at once. I have leased space in 5 locations. This place is filled with opportunity. Nobody here wears shoes. See, there's two ways of looking at everything. We're all in life have shortcomings, but we all have strengths. Everyone has greatness. And it's up to us when we see another Yid, what we want to see. When we see another Yid, we can choose to see a Tzelem Elokim, a Chelik Elokim Imal. The Pasuk in Mishlei says, Ish Lefi Mahalaloi. Pasuk Pshat in the Pasuk is, that a man, Lefi Mahalaloi, goes according to his praise. If you want to know about someone, you see how people praise him, and you get a good idea of what he's all about. But in Yonah says, that's not attached to the Pasuk. Ish Lefi Mahalaloi means, Ish, a man, not as according to his praise, but rather you can judge a person, the Lefi Mahalaloi, according to what he praises, what he sees in other people. What's a sign of greatness? Someone who sees great in others. Ish Lefi Mahalaloi. Somebody who only finds faults in others is a siman that he's faulty. Rashi, beginning of Parshas Noach, famous Rashi brings two Peshatim and Tom Hoya by the Reisov. One Peshat, Rashi says, is the Shvach, and one Peshat is Lignai. Interesting to note, Loshon Rashi. Rashi says, when Rashi quotes the pshat that's lishvach, that is a positive pshat, Rashi says, Yesh ma rabbi seinu, there are from our rebbes, who doshim lishvach, they bring a drosha lishvach. Rashi continues, and Rashi says, Yesh doshim lignai. There are those who doshim lignai. Rashi misses out the word rabbi seinu. There are those who madayak Rashi. When it comes to lishvach, Rashi says, Yesh ma rabbi seinu. One of the Nasiim were called Achira ben Einon. There's a remez, Achira, somebody who sees bad in his brother, You know where it comes from? Ben Enon, the product of his own eye. It's how he's chosen to see his brother. We have the ability to see greatness in everything around us. Greatness in every single yid. You know, you dig in the ground and you find earth. You dig deeper, you find minerals, we find gold. You look at another yid, we can dig deep, we can choose to see his neshama toira, chedik alikami mal, etzelem alikim. When Chazal say, whatever the Boshim does is for the good, it's not just a fact. It's a perception, it's a way of life. Some people go through life seeing everything as a tav. They see the hatava, they see the hatava of the Boshim, the goodness of the Boshim and everything. But Victor Miller was the personification of this middle, as we know. And Victor Miller, they say he was once standing and he heard a person next to him complaining about pollution. He said the air wasn't very clean. And Victor Miller for a moment felt he lost appreciation for the Boshim's kindness, for the air, the beautiful air the Boshim gives us, for oxygen. He went home, he filled up a bowl with water, he dug his head into it, until he couldn't breathe anymore. He took out his head and he goes, ah, oxygen, thank you Hashem, thank you Boshim for the tremendous bracha that you give us every single day for free. That's because the minute he looked at life itself as the biggest bracha. Life itself out there is the biggest bracha. The gift of life ought to generate within us tremendous feelings of gratitude and positivity to the Ribono Shel Olam. Oshe, the word Oshe, what's true, Ashiros. Oshe, say, I once heard someone saying, Ayin is Einayim, Shin is Shinayim, Yud is Yodayim, and Reish is Raglayim. For £1 million, we wouldn't sell any chedik of our guf. As the Pasuk says, Mibsori Echzeh Aleika. If you want to see things properly, Mibsori, from my very guf, Echzeh Aleika, I have the ability to see the Ribono Shel Olam. Chaim Kanievsky would say over, there was once a man in one of the shuls of Bnei Brak. On a random Tuesday morning, he made the kiddush at the back of the shul. So after davening, people came over there. And they said to him, you know, what are you making? What? In honor of what is this kiddush? So he said, yesterday I was crossing the road, and unfortunately a car hit me. But Baruch Hashem, with tremendous nisim, I came out without a scratch. I came out healthy. And I'm making a kiddush to thank the Ribono Shel Olam, to be mefarsim, the kindness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Next day after Shachris, they turn around, and at the back of the shul, there again there's a kiddush from a different individual. And he also made a kiddush. People came over, people asked him, Chaim, the people said to him, you know, did you also get knocked over? So he goes, no, I didn't get knocked over. So why are you making a kiddush? So he says, I'm making a kiddush because it occurred to me yesterday that for 20 years I've crossed that very road, and not once has a car hit me. Many people will have that kiddush, and not everybody saw it the way this individual saw it. It's up to us. He saw, he realized, he took a message from everything, the Tana Toiv, he understood everything. In a light of positivity. And that's because some people, even with difficult lives, we always have the ability to see things in a positive way. I like to say over that my father's father, Zech Sad Levrocha, when he came to England, he witnessed the horrors of Kristallnacht, and then a long journey, but eventually ended up in England. And he stayed, his brother, Rav Duna, who was derived from Yosef Tzvi Halevi Duna, and he stayed by him. At the time, people didn't have anything. And he said over that, his brother was married, he was single. His brother only had two plates, one for him and one for his wife. So what did he eat off? He ate off a frying pan. He didn't have an easy life. And yet, he was someone who, his whole life, it was just one big smile. Everything he saw, he was just so grateful for everything he saw. He lived with such gratitude. It's all there, it's there. We're always able to see it. But we need to notice it. The Pasuk says, "Vavatech b'Hashem Chesed Sevivenu." Somebody has b'tochron in the Boinu Shalom will be surrounded by Chesed. He says, "Why doesn't the Pasuk say somebody has b'tochron in the Boinu Shalom? The Rebbeinu Shalom will do Chesed with him. The Rebbeinu Shalom will be oisah Chesed with him. What's the lashon? He'll be surrounded by Chesed." Says Rabbi Falk, sometimes even a yidur has b'tochron. We know he can have tzoros. There can be difficulties in life. He can have troubles. But chesed is sevivenu. If he notices, it will always be surrounded by chesed. If he wants to look for the chesed within the Torah, within the trouble, he can always find it. Whether it's the timing, whether it's the location, whether exactly who got affected. Chesed is sevivenu. If he looks for it, it'll always be surrounded by chesed. My father's mother, so I've quoted so much family, the messages have made such an impact on me. She came on the kinder transport, and she also didn't have, you know, came to the transport. She got married without her parents. She only saw her parents 5 years after she got married. She didn't have an easy life. And she once said to me, and there's words still ringing in my ears, she said to me, when she comes every time in halal to the words, Ma'oshiv Lashem, She can't get the words out of her mouth. She struggles every time to get those words out of her mouth. She just feels so indebted and so grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We, Baruch Hashem, go through lives. We don't have the difficulties that the previous generations had. All the more so, Ma'ashiv Lashem, to notice the Atov of the Ribbono Shel Olam. I can't help but quote what a wise man once said. He said, you know, instead of complaining about taxes, Baruch Hashem, I have a job. Instead of complaining, I woke up early in the morning. Baruch Hashem, I woke up. My clothes don't fit me. Baruch Hashem, it means that I've gained weight because I've got food to eat. I'm feeling tired. Baruch Hashem, I had a full day. Another wise man is quoted to have said, I got called pretty yesterday. I'm feeling very good about it. I'm choosing to focus on the positive because the true sentence was, you're pretty annoying. And in the last few minutes, perhaps I can just take this concept a little bit further. You know, positive people generate positivity. It's difficult to view the world and ourselves in a positive light if we don't view ourselves in a positive manner. I was an individual who no one took attention to. He'd walk in his neighborhood, nobody would say hi to him. Very isolated, very much on his own. In his workplace, came to work, sat by his own desk, even at home. And one day he felt he's had enough. No one recognized me. I've got to sort something out, enough is enough. He goes off to the local hat shop, and he goes in there and he says to the owner of the shop, please give me the most expensive hat in this shop. He takes, he shows him, puts it on, the most expensive hat. He looks in the mirror and he goes, ah, this is an end to all my troubles. That's it. I look like a mensch. I'm a fancy fellow. This is exactly what I need. He puts his old hat in the box, the new hat on his head, and he goes out into the street. Suddenly the first person he meets, good morning, how are you? He couldn't believe it, he couldn't believe it. He went to the workplace. Everyone was so kind to him. People were chatting to him. This was the best day of his life. He comes home, his wife and his kids, and they're so happy to see him. And he's chatting to them. They're asking him all about his day. And the whole time while he's talking to his wife, he's going like this. And his wife is looking at him. And he just carries on talking to him. And he keeps doing the same hand gestures. She says to him, well, what are you pointing at? Your old rusty hat. So he says, what do you mean? I went to the shop, bought your hat today. And he takes off his hat. He looks at it and he realizes that it's the new hat that he put in the box. And it's the old rusty hat that he put on his head. His hat didn't change. What changed? His perception. He felt good to himself. He felt happy. He looked at himself in a positive way. People felt that. It reflected. People saw that he was happy and he was confident. People felt him feeling that way, and therefore others perceived him that way. Says the Pasuk in this week's parasha, Vanihi be'einenu kachagovim. The Meraglim said, we perceived ourselves kachagovim like locusts, and therefore, v'chein ha'inu be'einenu, that's how we were in their eyes. We have a negative perception of ourselves. We fear little. That's how they end up looking at us. Rather, we need to contemplate and realize the greatness of ourselves. What every yid has, how the Boshom cherishes the avodah of every yid. And when we think that way, we begin to feel good with ourselves. And we see everything with an ayin tova. We see everything with a positive light. When we just make the bracha in the morning of Shaloyah Sani Goy, Rabbi Yitzchak Mebeditchev every day he was making the brachas in the morning in shul. But one day, his Talmidim, when they're listening to him make the bracha, because of Shachar, they noticed that he missed out the bracha of Shaloyah Sani Goy. So I asked him, Rebbe, why have you made that bracha? He said, of course I made that bracha. So I woke up this morning, I was lying in my bed, and I was thinking to myself, wow, another day as a yid, the Boshom came back by neshama, another day where the Boshom wants my avodah in this world. I jumped out of bed and straight away I made the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Shaloh Asani Goy. And really, right through davening, we look through davening, there's so many words that have the ability to ma'ira simcha, to arouse within us feelings of simcha and happiness. Every single day in davening, my Rebbe, my Mashkech, used to always say that in davening before Shemana Esther, we say the words, Al Zoy Shibcha Ahuvim, V'Noslu Yedidim, Klal Yisrael referred to as the loved ones, as Yedidim, we Kavayochel, friends of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. When we say these words, we should be dancing with simcha before we daven Shemana Esther. We realize we are Ahuvim, we Yedidim, we say, Aboichab Amisor, Ba'avo, Ahavti Eschem Ama Hashem. There's so much out there, we just need to look at the Psukim and realize how much the Boshom loves us, and then that infuses within us tremendous feelings of happiness and positivity. Time is running out. May we zoicha to perceive ourselves and others through the correct lens, and by doing so, elevate not just our vision, but our whole way of life. And may the Boshom grant us the brocha of a chol oivecha, mehei koresu, and may we zoicha to the posuk of a re'ei to see, but tov yoshalayim, mehei avi amenu, amen.
Yes, of course. I learned. 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 I learned